In that day, will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. In other words, God was saying, I'm going to restore the glory. I'm going to rebuild what has been torn down. That was fulfilled in the new covenant. As Peter and them were preaching, and they brought it out about the tabernacle of David being restored. And in this, it wasn't just for the Jews, but it was for the Gentiles to come in too. And God was saying he would restore the glory. And that's what's being done not only back then on the day of Pentecost and following, but even right now. And can you stand to receive the glory of God in all of its fullness? Because it's more than just words being spoken. It's supposed to be a living reality for the people of God on a daily basis. And this glory does not come to keep us as we are or as we were, but this glory pushes us into the likeness of Jesus. Just get ready to abandon and forsake all of your frailties and weaknesses and, you know, issues and things like that, things that hold you back and hold you down. You know, you are like, I'm not calling you this exactly, but you're like a hot air balloon. You're ready to soar. You're ready to go up. Praise God. But we got to get rid of the weight, the bags that hold down. Because the air is the Holy Ghost, the wind, the breath of the Holy Ghost, ready to take us higher in God. But the weights themselves, just like weights on a helium or hot air balloon, hold it down. It keeps it there so that it just doesn't take off, if you will. But the weights on our lives will hold us and keep us in the second grade when we ought to be in the 10th. And we have to be willing to loose those things because life goes by so fast. Stuff that you were dealing with when you were 7 years old, you'll find yourself dealing with it at 14 and at 21 and at 28. And you'll be like, if you look and examine and say, you know, I've been battling this thing for all these years. And you just think that it's you. It's just a normal you. But it's not, because you've been born again now. Hallelujah. You've been born again to bear the attributes of God Almighty. I shared it with you before. It's worthy of repeating again. Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about what we get rid of. The works of the flesh, they're evident. That's the stuff we get rid of. But the things that are of the Spirit, those are the things that are germinating and generating and reproducing within our lives. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, temperance, you know, faithfulness, if you will, that is what is being produced in us as we go from glory to glory and from faith to faith and from strength to strength. And as we do so, did you ever know Jesus to have a need? Who said yes? What was the need? Oh, that was a good one. That was a good one, Sister Julie. That was a good one. That was a good one. And so what did he do? How foolish was that? That was good. I gotta wipe my face on that one. Okay, so he had a need to pay for taxes, but what did he do? Peter, take a fishing pole. Don't put no bait on the hook. Just go out there and throw it in the water and the first fish that comes up, put your hand in its mouth, go pay my taxes and your taxes too. That's Jesus. Did you ever see Jesus panic? No, I'm just being silly. When Jesus was in the, well, there was two instances. There was one instance when he told the disciples, okay, let's go on over to the other side. They all got in the boat. Jesus is down at the bottom. They sail out there. And in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, all of a sudden, the storm rises up. What happens? The disciples are panicking. They're looking at each other, and they're saying to one another, we're going to die. And so somebody remembers that Jesus is on board. And so they go to Jesus, and they wake him up, and they say, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And what did Jesus do? Come on. Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, calmed the sea, and then talked to them about their faith. Jesus is our example, would you agree? Now, we don't live in Jerusalem, okay? We don't live in Nazareth. We don't live in Galilee. We're not out there on the Sea of Galilee. We're not going to Capernaum. I mean, unless we go there for a trip to Israel to tour the land, if you will. But we're here in the United States of America. And that same kind of faith that Jesus used out there in the sea is the same kind of faith we have to use here in the United States of America. Hallelujah. Now, in the one instance, he rebuked their faith and all. Another instance, after Jesus had ministered and sent the multitude away, he told his disciples to go on over to the other side. And they got out there in the boat and in the midst of the sea. Here comes another storm. The enemy is always trying to stir things up when we're doing the will of God. But Jesus always has the answer and the solution. And these things, just like the old covenant itself, because everything that Jesus did was under the old covenant, but these things are written for our admonition, for our learning, for our examples, so that one, we would not make the same mistakes that they made, but two, we would know how to handle life as it comes our way, because life happens to everyone. And so this time, Jesus sends them out, but he stays on the island and he prays. And he stays there and he prays. I call it an island, but he stayed on the land. And he prayed until about 3 a.m. And then he decides, after he sees them out there and what's happening on the sea, Jesus decides to go out there where they are. But he doesn't have a boat. And so he walks on water. Jesus goes into the same storm that they're encountering. The storm is throwing the boat every which way. And the disciples are afraid. And when they see Jesus on the water, they look and they think that they see a ghost. And so they start panicking. Ah, it's a ghost. Jesus said, be not afraid, it is I. They still say, ah, it's a ghost. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. Bid me to come. And Jesus said, come. Peter got, now mind you, the storm is still going on. And Jesus is in the same storm that they're in, but he ain't panicking. He didn't panic when he was at the bottom of the ship. And he didn't panic when he was in the midst of the storm. And they're over here, and they just know that it's over. But what happens is that Jesus says, come. Peter starts coming. And it wasn't until Peter looked at the boisterous wind and the waves raging, and then all of a sudden, Peter begins to sink. I heard one preacher say, how do you begin to sink? Praise God. You ever been swimming? You don't begin to sink. You just sink. You just go, yeah. And so Peter, all of a sudden, but he has enough time to say, Lord, save me. And Jesus rescues him. Ask him, why did you doubt? Man, you had it. You were doing it. You were doing what we're supposed to do as sons of God. You're not just sons of whoever your parents are. I say that with no disrespect, but whoever your parents are, you're not just their little boy or their little girl anymore. You are now a son and daughter of the Most High God. And Jesus is like, Peter, this is what we do, man. Come on, we walk on top of this stuff. We don't begin to sink. Peter, come on. We rise up. Peter, Jesus grabbed him, and they both walked together to the boat, got in the boat, and the boat immediately gets to the other side. That thing like, man, praise God. You're talking about jet propulsion. Because they were only in the midst, which means they were in the middle, and it's either try and turn back or keep on going. And so if you face a crisis when you're in the midst, it's the same distance as going back as it is going forward. But if you had enough faith to get off the sea of security to step out and go for something more, don't all of a sudden turn back because things get hard. No, that's why you have faith. Amen. And in navigating through life, God gave you one of the greatest gifts you could ever receive from someone, and that is the gift of faith. One of the other greatest things is his presence. You know, if say for instance, some put their trust in man, some put their trust in horses. You know, the psalmist says some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. That's what the psalmist says. And so some would put their trust in man. And so if let's use the Browns. Sister Tracy's at home. Now, Sister Tracy, she can handle herself well. If somebody comes in the house, no, I'm just joking. But anyways, if Brother Joshua is there, she feels more secure than just her being home alone. His presence speaks. I mean, the physical presence speaks. It's like you think twice before you, I don't think we want to mess with him. But anyways, his physical presence speaks, and she feels more secure. If he's not there, she's less secure because he's not there. But if she knows he's in the house and she hears a noise, Josh, if he's not there, he's in the room praying. Josh, yeah, babe. I hear some noise. Okay, I'm on it. Amen? That's a normal thing to do. But if she's alone, she hears some noise. What's that? Start reaching. I don't know where you... Yeah, okay. I'm being facetious right now, but I'm making a point. But she feels less secure because he's not there. But the same with God. If you know he's there, and this is a thing that we have to get to, he is there. That's why we acknowledge his presence. We can't afford to live as if he's not there. If he says he's there, if he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'll be with you until the end of the age. You have to know that he's there. And if you know that he's there, you acknowledge him. The writer in Proverbs chapter 3 says, in all of our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. We need to really start considering the Lord before we make some of the decisions that we make, because he's there for that reason. I don't want to trouble the Lord with that. You better try and trouble him before trouble starts troubling you. And it's no trouble at all. It's a conversation with the one who you put your trust in, that you depend upon, you rely upon. You expect him to bless you. You also expect him to protect you. You also expect him to direct you. What did he say? In all. All means what? All means everything. The biggest word in the Bible, all. It includes all. It leaves nothing out. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. That's a promise. It's also a command. Trust. And so, if anything happens, the physical is easier to rely upon because the eyes see it. And because the eyes see it, the mind, the nerves, and everything can just be at peace. But if we see nothing, we think that nothing is there. Because God is spirit. He's not natural. He's spirit. We can't see him with our natural eyes, but his presence is there. How can I know his presence is there? Worship him. What you do in this tabernacle, you do at home. Worship and praise him. Exalt him. Acknowledge him. Reach out to him. Wait on him and watch him come. Yeah. The presence of God is so real. But the thing of it is if we're only accustomed to living by the natural, in other words, if I can't see it, I cannot believe it. That's how doubting Thomas was. Unless I see the nail prints in his hands and put my finger in those nail prints, unless I see the piercing in his side and put my finger in the side, I won't believe. We have to see it for many. And the thing of it is with God, you don't have to see it. You just have to know it, believe it, and step out on it. Faith is not trying to believe God. Faith is believing God. Faith is knowing God. I know you got this, because before it came, I've already had the conversation with you about it. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path, so that the glory of God can manifest in its fullness. Believe me, beloved, we don't have time to worry, to doubt, and to fear. Do God's people worry, doubt, and fear? Yes, they do. But we don't have time for it. Why? Because it never leads to God moving or doing anything. Faith pleases God. Action pleases God. Stepping out, trusting God, that pleases him. If we sit back and do nothing, that upsets God. Because we're not using what he's given us. One, he's given us faith. Two, he's given us his presence. David knew about the presence of the Lord. David worshiped God as if God was right there before him, and God was. God was always with David. David sinned and transgressed against God, but God was merciful and forgave him when he repented of his sin. And then God didn't hold any of that against him. He told him what the consequences of those sins would be, because there is the sowing and there is the reaping. But as far as God holding anything against David, this is what God had to say about him. I have found David to be a man after my own heart. What a remembrance. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to say hallelujah. What a remembrance. Glory to God. If we had sinned to the degree that David had sinned, not only did he stay at home when kings, it was their assignment and duty to go out in war, to lead his men into battle, but he stayed home and went on his balcony and started being a peeping Tom and looked over and saw Bathsheba and said, who is that? And brought her to his house and laid with her, got her pregnant, then had her husband, because her husband wouldn't go home to her. Her husband had more integrity than David. Uriah's like, how can I go home and have pleasure with my wife when my fellow brethren are out there in the battlefield? I will stay here. So David had to send a message. Here, take this. This is your death notice. Take this. Have him take his own death notice. Put Uriah on the front line in the fiercest battle. And then draw back. And they did it. And Uriah was killed. And then David brought Bathsheba in. David had to deal with the consequences of it. Consequences were the baby died. David's heart was grieved. He cried and fasted for his child to live. Perhaps God would show mercy. God didn't show mercy in that regards. The baby died. David got up. His men thought he was crazy. Man, we thought you lost it right there. Now you just up and about. Hey, I can't bring him back. He can't come to me, but I will go to him. The same King David. Even after that, God's word concerning him. I have found him to be a man after my own heart. Hallelujah. Yeah, it is. Hallelujah. So God removes all the guilt and the stain. He removes all of those things. He forgives us and he removes our sins, as the psalmist says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Why? Because he wants us to walk in his glory. He wants us to learn from Jesus. Now, see, as I said last week, I think it was last week, we don't need to walk on water. Jesus walked on water, and he proved it. So we don't have to go out there to try and prove God by walking on some water in order to convince some people that God is real. But we should be able to walk above our circumstances. We should be able to walk above our fears. We should be able to walk above the enemy, the adversary. We should be able to overcome. Amen. Hallelujah. We shouldn't have to live with our issues and let our issues plague us, because all they do is keep us out of the perfect will of God, the place we want to be. We shouldn't have to be, as a church, chasing after something that we should have already mastered. Yeah. Paul said something like this. And when he said it, he was using the analogy. It's not so much of an analogy, but he was talking about how the men in the church were taking advantage of the women. He called the women gullible. And then he said they're ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's just spinning our wheels and going nowhere. No, we don't have time to waste. We don't have time to be plagued by issues. It's like, no, we got to get on level ground and start moving. Moving with God. Moving above situations, circumstances, problems. Moving past those things. Seizing our inheritance and glorifying God in all the earth. Because really, we want to wrap this thing up so Jesus can rapture us and, you know, go on with the 7-year tribulation and then go on and establish his 1,000-year millennial reign and bind the devil for those 1,000 years and then let the devil go, because there's still going to be some knuckleheads and hardheads who will still reject Jesus, although he's going to be on this earth in Jerusalem. Still, people will reject him. But after Satan has been loosed for those 1,000 years to go after those who didn't believe in God, he will then be dealt a final blow. then you'll have the battle of Armageddon and everything will be done. And then we'll have eternity with God. New heaven, new earth. We got to get on with this thing. God's got too much in store for us, and it's all for eternity. Amen? Praise God. We want to make our mark now, because if Jesus does tarry, another generation is going to come. We want to leave them something that they can hold fast to so that they won't become lukewarm, or they won't become, you know, this weak, impotent church, representatives of God. No, we can't be like that. We got to leave them a legacy of something that, you know, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and this is how you do it, and this is how you get it done. Amen. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is what the tabernacle of David was for. It's for Jew and Gentile. It's for the people of God, and it's where God restores his glory to the church. And he has done that, and it's happened since the day of Pentecost, and it's supposed to continue even in our day. Hallelujah. Glory. We don't have to be a weak church when we have the option of being a strong one. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. No more weak Christians? All right. Praise God. Tell some of those, you know, that you know around you, hey, no more weak Christians. You know, don't play with this thing. You know, we're hooked on drugs. We're hooked on alcohol. We're sexually immoral. We're just, you know, we live like the world, and we're supposed to be the sons and daughters of God. If I can't see Jesus, you know, bound by stuff, why should I be? Hallelujah. Love you so much. Don't want to let you go. Hallelujah. Okay, I'll stop. Brother Joshua, take the microphone, please. Any prayer requests? Okay, good. Sister Kathy. Congratulations. Okay. Cody. Amen. Anything in particular or just?
Daddy softens his heart. And so, but if I'm not to be the one to bring Cody to God,
yeah.
He puts somebody in his life that he can respect him.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Being good won't get you in. Come on up here, Sister Kathy. Praise God. Yeah, well, we have you know, relatives like that. They, you know, but you're in good company in that regards. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else got an unsaved loved one that's been a knucklehead? Amen. So we can all bear witness with it. You know, we're not labeling them to be derogatory, but they are. They're just knuckleheads. They won't receive the goodness of God. They keep rebelling against his will, and his will is good. Amen. Praise God. Father, for every knucklehead relative that we have, whether it's a son or a daughter, it's a cousin, a brother or sister, whether it's a parent or a child, we stand in agreement with Sister Kathy, as she stands in agreement for her son, Cody. And Lord, for many of our relatives, they know better, but they won't do better. Many were raised up in the faith and have turned away from it. We call them back to their borders. And Father, we just stand in the gap with Sister Kathy because we prayed that prayer as well. If our lives can't be the witness to draw them to Jesus, if our witness is too strong for them, or they just can't receive because they feel like we're too close to them, or we're just mom, we're just brother, we're just sister, we're just, you know, whatever, we're just a Father, whatever excuse that they have, we pray that you'll put somebody in their pathway who can get their attention. So as Sister Kathy stands as a point of contact for her son, she represents many mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters who are crying out to you for their loved ones to be saved. Lord, they can't learn anything from Irma. They can't learn anything from Harvey. They can't learn anything from the tragedies, the earthquakes that go on all around this globe, Lord God. They can't learn, Father God, from the hardships of life. Even when they get themselves in trouble, they still don't have the sense. Father, first of all, we pray that you will remove the blinder of the devil that is covering their eyes and covering their minds, so that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened to know the hope of your calling. We pray that you'll unstop their deaf ears and remove the callousness from their hard hearts in the name of Jesus. We pray for heart surgery. Put someone in their pathway. Put someone in their tracks that will capture their attention and will represent you. Send an angel, mighty God. Give them a dream. Give them a vision. Let them see, Father, the errors of their way are leading to the path of destruction. Let them see who they're truly following. Lord, we pray that you'll deliver them from the path of the unrighteous and put them on the path of the righteous. We pray that you'll deliver them from demonic, satanic influence, from the spirit of rebellion and disobedience, whatever the devil is using to keep them, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sexual immorality, whether it be ungodly influence, whether it be peer pressure, what have you, come what may. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the breakthrough in their lives. We pray for the turnaround in their lives. We pray for the salvation of their soul. Wake them up before it's too late. Open up their eyes before it's too late. Penetrate their heart. Change their lives. Change their minds. Change their ways for your glory. In Jesus' name, we surround them as a wall of fire of intercession, praying against the enemy and his plan for them, that your plan will prevail in their lives. Master, in the name of Jesus, you said whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We bind the ungodly influence. We bind the work of devils. We bind sorcery. We bind witchcraft. We bind rebellion. We bind disobedience. And we loose submission. We loose salvation. We loose peace. We loose righteousness. We loose the angels of God, ministering angels, guardian angels, warring angels, to come forth and do the bidding on behalf of our loved one's salvation. As we pray, we thank you for angelic activity. Angels, protect them. Protect them so that they don't die in their sin, but they repent before it's too late. Angels of God, ministering angels, guardian angels, warring angels, go forth now in Jesus' mighty name. Bring our loved ones from afar. Bring our sons and daughters. Bring them back to the altar. Bring them back to their first love in Christ Jesus. Bring them, oh God, in the name of Jesus, no matter how far they have gone. Your arm is not too short that you cannot save. Forgive them of their sin. Blot out all of their transgression. Turn them from the errors of their way. Order their steps and direct their path back to you. Back to the borders of safety and security. Back to the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. We cover them in the precious blood of the Lamb. We say the will of the Lord prevail in their lives. Not their will, but your will, Almighty God. Oh, yeah, we come against the powers of darkness and the gates of hell in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We thank you for victory. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the Codys that are coming in. We thank you they're coming from the north, the south, the east, and the west. They're coming out of the highways, the byways, and the hedges. No matter how far they've been driven, they shall return in Jesus' name. Now you send, Father, whoever you need to send. Send them now in Jesus' mighty name. Don't let our children rest. Don't let the parents rest. Don't let the friends rest. Don't let the relatives rest comfortably in their sin any longer. disturb their comfort till they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. And now we pray for the spirit of wisdom and guidance to come upon Sister Kathy concerning your will, concerning her job. We pray that you create the perfect job for her with a good salary. Restore her fortunes, Lord God. We thank you for healing her physical body from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. You have perfected the things that concern her. Now, Father God, favor, uncommon favor, unbridled favor, a yes and an amen, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that as your daughter seeks you, you order her steps, direct her path, guide her with your eye, lead her to the place of employment that you have in store for her, and that the salary is excellent, the benefits are excellent, and the glory of the Lord is revealed, and your mighty power is made known, and she'll give you all the praise and honor and glory. Even do so right now. Thank him right now, Sister Kathy. Thank him right now for moving on your behalf. Thank him for the job right now. Thank you for the good paying job. Thank you that it's going to take care of your every need and you're going to be a blessing to others. Thank him for his sovereign provision. Thank him for his mighty hand and outstretched arm. We give you praise, Master. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Above all else, thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Get ready, Brother Joseph. Prosperity is coming your way in Jesus' mighty name. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell because you're the church of the living God, pillar and ground of truth. You're the blessed of the Lord, highly favored. Glory. The Lord be with you everywhere you go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. It's always a blessing to be with you. We love you. And we'll see you soon. Don't forget, Saturday, evangelism. Saturday night, 18, special ops.